The epistle appointed for this Septuagesima Sunday is taken from First Epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, do you not know that those who run in a race all indeed run, but one receives the prize? So run as to obtain it. And everyone in a contest abstains from all things, and they indeed to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable. I therefore so run as not without a purpose. I so fight as not beating the air, but I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, lest perhaps after preaching to others, I myself should be rejected. For I would not leave you ignorant, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized in Moses, in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Yet with most of them God was not well pleased. Please stand for the Holy Gospel, which is according to St. Matthew, in the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And having agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And about the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace, idle. And he said to them, "Go you also into my vineyard, and I will give you whatever is just." So they went, and again he went out about the sixth and about the ninth hour, and did as before. But about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing about, and said to them, "Why do you stand here all day idle?" They said to him, "Because no man has hired us." He said to them, "Go you also into my vineyard." But when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning from the last even to the first." Now when they of the 11th hour came, they received each a denarius. And when the first in their turn came, they thought that they would receive more. But they also received each his denarius. And on receiving it, they began to murmur against the householder, saying, "These last have worked a single hour, and thou hast put them on a level with us, who have borne the burden of the day's heat." But answering one of them, he said, "Friend, I do thee no injustice. Didst thou not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is thine and go. I choose to give to this last even as to thee. Have I not a right to do what I choose? Or art thou envious because I am generous? Even so, the last shall be first and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen." In the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. As you can see, the liturgical year is moving along. Just a little, not even a month ago, we celebrated, well, a little over a month, Christmas and Epiphany, and now the church is draped in purple. For we start the Septuagesima season to prepare our hearts and minds for the Lenten season. And the reason for the Septuagesima and Sexagesima and Quinquagesima was in the past, the early Christians used to celebrate by starting their fast early, on 70 days out from Lent. And of course, over time, Rome decided that they wanted uniformity, so Pope Gregory and Galerius made it uniformly that 40 days fast and penance instead of the 70 that people were doing, or 60 or 50, whatever day they started on. But today we're reminded that we have to start preparing our hearts and minds for that penance, for the fasting, for the prayers. As today the church is reminding us this very clearly and strongly, and now we, these three Sundays, will get us prepared for our Lenten observance. And as we're doing this, we can compare it to what St. Paul was referring to as running a race. When we run a race, we have to keep check of our diet, keep check of our physicalness, our preparedness, and all that takes place. But we have to do the same thing in the spiritual life too, the interior life. We have to look deep inside us. We have to try to do our best to find time where there we can be alone in silence and listen to the Word of God in our hearts and minds. It's only in silence that we're going to hear Him. In our daily spiritual reading and prayers, when we're reading spiritual books and we come across a certain paragraph or sentence, we let that thought just continue on before we continue on reading. But every day we have to keep focused that what our Lord is offering to us, the race, with the race they're given a prize, a gold medal or a trophy or whatnot. Our Lord is giving us something greater. He's granting us eternal life. If only we do it the way He has laid down for us. We have to go after self-will. We have to conquer all the vices that we have been attracted to or addicted to. And we have to fight against it. Every day, every day, every day, every day. This is the race that we have to run. And we strengthen this. We strengthen our spiritual life through our prayers, asking God's grace to help us to overcome our predominant faults and the things that we are stuck into these days and times. Look at the world today. What example is it giving you today? It's all of a bad nature. Bad behavior, bad decorum, bad dress, bad everything. And as Lent approaches, you can be sure that if you're watching TV or anything else, the commercials will be just as awful. But that's the world. That's what they present to everyone, thinking that it's okay. It's okay. Trying to persuade us that immorality is okay. It's not okay. It's never okay. It can never be compromised. That's where our good example comes into play. This is what we have to fight for and fight every day. The things of the world, the concupiscence of the flesh, the eyes, the pride of life, all these things. How can we do this? We have to be humble of heart. We have to go around in the spirit of humility. As our Holy Rule pointed out today, that no matter where I'm at or what I'm doing, I'm in the garden or in the kitchen or out shopping or taking a walk, sitting down, no matter what, that I always keep in mind that my eyes are cast down, that I'm always thinking that I'm standing in the presence of the awful judge, thinking of my sins. It's that spirit that we're trying to develop for Lent. We can't do it with pride. A proud man, forget it. Our Lord will have nothing to do with him. We have to be humble of heart. We have to think that we are, as I said before, the most unprofitable servant of God. And believe it. We can't do nothing without the grace of God. So while we're preparing these next few Sundays, St. Paul's going to point out too, as the days come upon, or the weeks come up, about how much we have to suffer for the love of God. of natural things and supernatural things or spiritual things. How much are we willing to give in? How much are we willing to accept, especially our conditions in life? If the good Lord sends me a sickness, an illness, a disease, a cancer, or whatnot, and I accept this in good faith, wouldn't it be wise for me to be happy that this is what's going to clean my soul and make me pure before God? Then what else can I say except give me more? If this is what's going to do it, and why not? All I have to do then is just be patient and deal with the circumstances as I can. If this is what's going to make me holy in the sight of God, so be it. But we must not complain about it, because complaining only dampens it. It ruins the gift, because God also loves a cheerful giver. So we have to be cheerful. Well, let us keep our eyes focused on the goal. The goal is Jesus Christ. That's the goal. We're not, this is not a pilgrimage that, this is not our pilgrimage here on earth. We're just here for a time. We have to be reminded of this all the time, because sometimes we feel like this is the final place, that there is no hereafter. But there is, because our Lord said so. And that's why we believe it. But let us run this race that St. Paul speaks of. It's hard work combating self-will. It's hard work fighting against vice and trying to promote virtue. But we can only do this through our prayers, our silence, our spiritual reading, and a determined effort to do it. We have to turn away from ourselves. We have no choice. And the more we dig into our spiritual life and our interior life, the more we're going to correct this. We're going to want to correct this. We have to. We have no choice. So every day, we have another opportunity to know, love, and serve the good Lord, to do His will, our daily duties, say our prayers to the best of our ability, never give in to discouragement. Never, ever, ever give in to discouragement. Don't give the devil his heyday. Don't think that, well, I can never overcome this particular sin or this particular vice, so what's the use? I'm just going to throw the towel in. That's precisely what he wants you to do. The thing is we don't think about and meditate or keep ourselves so focused on our faults as we try to correct them and fight against them. Because while we're so busy worrying about the sin or sins we committed, we're keeping our minds off from the things that we should be doing, namely praying and spiritual reading and such like. These are all little tricks the devil uses against us. And then we wonder why sometimes we're in the state we are. Because, well, we didn't pray like we're supposed to. So every day, as Lent comes, is approaching, let us prepare ourselves and keep in mind that it's also too that this is a time of God's great mercy. And that mercy we cannot fathom, the mercy of God. And that's what we have to pray for every day, His mercy and His forgiveness. His desire is always to forgive and forget. His desire is always to help us. We have to believe that. And the more we put our faith, hope, trust in that, the more close we're going to be to God. And the more close He's going to be to us. May God bless you. In the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.